That's right, it is a very special after-school special all about Sony Entertainment.
Tell us more, Mr. Reagan!
It is a special episode where we're talking about Sony, because there's just a lot to talk about with Sony over the past few years, specifically what we've heard the past couple of weeks. I'm Jason Amherst, and of course, I am joined by...
Oh, I'm introducing myself.
You asked for dead air. We're giving you your dead air.
We were following his instructions, people. All right. Entering player one, I am Deej from Broken Caffeinated.
I am making sure these guys are following the rules. I am the game master, Sammy Soundwave, from, well, anything you can find around with Broken Caffeinated or Super Fancom.
Yep. And, well, as you guys have probably heard countless times before, Jason Amherst, Crit Hit Jace, literally freaking everywhere of Critical Hit Productions.
Also known as President Reagan.
Yes. President Reagan back from the dead to talk to you about video games.
We like to resurrect him every few months, ladies and gentlemen.
We got a machine. We just bring everybody back from the dead every so often for shits and giggles. I mean, just the other day we had Casey Kasem just chilling here in the studio here in Cellar Dweller Studios in Unstable, Mass.
I still don't know why you guys won't let me go to, like, you know, other countries to get these dead people.
All right. Well, speaking of dead things... So we're gonna drag some stuff back up from the dead to talk about briefly because this episode, as I said, was all about Sony. So within the past few years, Sony has been doing a lot of controversial stuff. They've been really getting onto gamers' bad sides, and not in your big third-party AAA microtransaction bullshit, because Sony actually gives a shit about single-player games. We've seen it with Horizon Zero Dawn, Last of Us, Spider-Man, God of War. Like, Sony actually has given us what we want. Mm-hmm. Except for a few things. One, cross-play. So this was where the Reagan voice came in, was joking around earlier. So, Sony PlayStation, tear down this wall. So, They were so strictly against crossplay for some bizarre reason, thinking like, oh, people won't buy a PlayStation to play these games if there's crossplay. So what happened? Nintendo and Microsoft decided to throw massive shade at Sony in the best crossover since insert comic book crossover here.
Okay, hold on. I've got this one. Silver Surfer teamed up with Bugs Bunny against Darkseid.
Damn.
That would be a good crossover, right?
That would be a good crossover.
I got the better one. Silver Surfer teamed up with Hank Hill to talk about propane accessories on Fox years ago.
Oh, shit.
Swear to God, that was a real thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, really? press pause and go and look this up.
Oh my God.
I will find a link to it. It was for like Fox Kids years ago.
I can imagine that, actually.
Hank Hill souped up Silver Surfer's little board with a propane tank, you know, powered engine, and everything. It was amazing.
So,
and you know what the worst part is? I love it.
Now, the power cosmic is good, but have you ever heard about propane?
No, tell me about this mighty power.
Well, propane and propane accessories are very... I can't really do Hank Hill right now, but...
Well, I'll tell you what, that
whoa!
Boy rocks.
That boy
whoa! Anyway.
Okay, Dad!
So, crossplay. Crossplay.
Sorry, we're having a lot of fun conversations before this, everybody.
Yeah. So crossplay, Sony seemed so strictly against it. I mean, like, they became the bane of everybody's existence. You could not enjoy, you know, your Minecrafts or your Fortnites, you know, with your friends on other things if you're playing on a PlayStation. And Sony just kind of, you know, became like the butt of everybody's joke over that, right?
Now, was it because of pettiness, though? I heard a rumor that like, Sony tried to do this a long time ago at Microsoft for another game, and then Microsoft didn't want to play ball, so now Sony, in a petty, like, schoolyard kind of way, they just said, ah, no, we're not going to do it either. Fuck you.
I mean, it seems like it could be petty, but at the same time, there was an actual quote from somebody over this saying that it had to do with Sony's specific catered PlayStation experience or something.
Okay, so I spent 3 years working in... yeah, seriously. But to shed a little bit of light on this, I spent 3 years working in retail for selling video games. I worked at a GameStop, essentially.
I'm sorry.
Horror stories coming soon. So let's take a look at when the PlayStation 3 was still the biggest thing and the PS4 had not been announced, all right? PlayStation 3, you never had to pay for your online interaction. It was free, 100% free.
Yep.
That comes with a, and now I'm not saying this is the key issue. I'm just throwing this out there as this may have been one of their key problems beforehand. So they were very interested in doing crossplay, but one of the things that did worry them was, because of that whole free, you know, interaction with people on PlayStation Network, who remembers the great Sony hack?
Oh, I do.
Oh, yep.
Who does remember the great Sony hack?
That was back in the PSP days on top of it all, too.
Yeah. So of the early 2000s, there was the great Sony hack. Brief summary for those of you who may not have heard about it. Because there are people who have never heard of it. Sony had a massive hack on their servers, causing pretty much 90% of everybody's information who had a PlayStation 3 to be, you know, sent out into the internet void.
Class action lawsuits, there was compensation. You got like a few free games out of it. That was all, you know, it was kind of bullshit, really.
This was all because of a Seth Rogen movie. That's what makes me laugh.
No, this was before
that.
Wasn't that part of it though?
No, that was the second time. That was the second time that Sony was better prepared.
And that was Sony Entertainment, Sony Pictures, SPE, not SCE, Sony Computer Entertainment.
Oh, so Sony got hacked twice then. Yeah. This was separate. Okay. Yeah. My apologies, folks.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem. Learning experience all around. So in that time frame, as Jace alluded to, there was lawsuits out the wazoo, and this stuff continued onwards, and it was actually considered baggage on the PlayStation 4, because people were wondering, what are you going to do about this? How much more secure is this going to be? And then when the Xbox One was launched, Sony had that brief window where they claimed the new generation console wars. When that new console war started, Sony saw that window and claimed it. And so the hype built up around them was getting bigger. They didn't sweep it under the rug, but they managed to build back their positivity from those hacks. And so then what occurred is they started charging more for their online experience, which to me makes perfect sense, you know? But in some way, and I'm not 100% sure, leave a comment if you actually know about this. This was how it was explained to me, was that the money was that because Sony at one point, they didn't need to charge for the service. And so now that they were charging, that money was going into building their security for the PlayStation 4, like, you know, from hack breaches and all of that. So henceforth why, you know, a year or two later, it went up in price, blah, 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 blah. But so... And then came, does anyone remember the Microsoft hack?
Not entirely.
Long story short, there was a massive hack at Microsoft. Microsoft's programs, because Microsoft was a computer company first, managed to stop that. But still around the time it was, you know, anytime you hear a system getting hacked or something, it's going to shine some negative light on anybody. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, it's Sony or Microsoft's fault, because at this point, if these companies can't get their shit together, then who cares, right?
Nintendo, please, get your shit together. You're not even worth hacking, apparently.
well, consider this. Consider this. If we're going by computer models, Microsoft is Microsoft. Sony would kind of be Dell. And Nintendo would be Apple. Why would you hack an Apple? There's no real point to hacking an Apple.
Yeah.
And mainly that's because of technical limitations or technical things and all that. So I make a joke. I'm not a big computer nerd. I just know these simple things. You know, Apples were meant to be simple running computers.
It's a reasonable comparison, though.
Yeah. Except Nintendo doesn't charge so much for the next big console.
But they will try to get you to buy five of them. I mean, but that's another story entirely for another press box.
Only bought five? I've got 12. But so to wrap up story time here, essentially what I think the other problem was that, again, Sony by this point had, you know, they didn't want to let their Microsoft was playing the card of, well, you guys got a major hack. We don't want to have crossplay put into there. And at the same time, you would think, okay, Microsoft, you guys have never had a hack. Crossplay would make more sense if you guys were in charge of the software and in charge of the programming.
I mean, because I guess that also explains why Sony has invested, I guess, into Microsoft's xCloud process. For Sony wanting to do this, what the next generation is trying to do, this game streaming thing that has blown up in freaking Google's face. Oh man, they are eating shit and it is lovely.
I do have to ask, have either one of you seen the Stadia commercials?
With Reggie Watts? Yeah.
They are drug-induced fever dreams.
I mean,
and they are amazing.
Facebook's Oculus commercials are pretty good fever dream too with Eric Wareheim. But yeah,
Stadia's
are
really
weirder.
Scares you.
I swear that they were probably produced by the same people who came up with the weird Sony ones, like the PlayStation portable one that had the squirrels. Hey, what are you doing? I'm playing Nut. You know you can play Nut outside? What?
Or the weird baby for the PlayStation 3.
Oh God, yeah, that was weird too.
That, again, different topic of conversation, but that's my slight insight. I think it then turned into, you know, we've been wanting to do crossplay for a while. Why we're extending our hand? You can actually prove to us why you guys have the better programming or something. I'm not going to, you know, officially state anything. These are just the ideas, everything that I gained from my time in GameStop and talking to people.
It definitely makes some sense. What didn't make sense was them talking about the curated experience, because it threw fuel on the fire of another controversy that had hit within the past year and a half or so. Sony censoring games. Which is a great laugh, actually, because like you have things that were cross-platform, like Devil May Cry 5, where scenes on the PlayStation 5 got patched. They weren't in freaking, like, they weren't patched on the Xbox for, like, beams of light covering, like, body parts on one of the female characters, and, like...
Yeah.
Then, like, to get even more obvious with it, we get into the blatantly, because, like, Devil May Cry is the mainstream thing. For the otaku and the weebs out there, just Japanese games in general, are coming out on the Switch uncensored, you know, like, or as uncensored as possible without being straight up an H game, you know, like Nintendo published Nekopara on the freaking Switch eShop, for crying out loud.
And that game was actually not taken down, but that game reserved some flack, but nothing happened.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, granted, you can pay extra and get that 18 plus version on Steam. But I mean, the fact that Nintendo has that, and the fact that Nintendo's, great one, Senran Kagura, that's a great mainstream-ish example.
Oh God, yeah. Love that game.
It's appearing uncensored, uncut on Switch, but getting edited and toned down on Sony. So Sony's talking about this curated experience, why they don't want to, you know, disrupt the Sony ecosystem. But now they're also censoring Japanese games. So Sony's coming into under a lot of fire for stuff like that. You know, so, I mean, shit just keeps kind of hitting them bit by bit. We get this new generation coming out. We want to know more, right? We want to know more. So what happens? Sony pulls out from E3. I mean, I can't blame them for doing that after the really,
E3
really...
has become a song and dance, let's be fair.
I mean, it's always been a song and dance, but it's no longer a televised song and dance anymore because
and
the internet...
it's not enjoyable.
Well, I can tell you, after covering last year, it was a hell of a slog. It was a fun slog. Probably would have been more fun if I was actually doing the, you know, shuffle from venue to venue and, you know, the hype of being there. But, I mean, just... in general, like, E3 is not what it used to be, but Sony's last E3 showing was so bad with its PlayStation experience and walking people from venue to venue and, like, we are here in the church and, like, and then they show off that and then it's like, and
they
now we're gonna...
curated an experience.
You know, like, it was so out there, you know, and everybody just panned it. It was like, this was absolutely stupid. What the hell were you thinking, Sony? You can't just do a press conference? And shortly after that, they're like, oh, okay, we're going to copy you guys now. You know, you got XO1 and you got Nintendo Direct. State of Play! That's what we're going to do now. Like, but, so they skip an E3, and now suddenly they pull out a GDC and PAX East claiming fear over... and I know we're not monetized on YouTube, but I'm going to say CV. I'm not going to name it. The virus outright, but because of the threat of that, they pull themselves from that. And so here's what I'm really segueing into, because you were mentioning retail and pricing and stuff. The PlayStation 5, we still don't know shit about it. We got some specs. We've never seen a picture of it. We got a logo, which revolutionary. They changed the 4 from to a 5. And that's it.
Take all my money.
I know, right? No release date, no price, and the scary part is, because there's no price yet for the Xbox X yet. I mean, Series X. Series X.
No, it doesn't matter. What? You better... don't know about this? This is called Xbox X.
It's my Xbox, and her name is Sony.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we don't have
a date.
Can
we back that up for a second? I'm sorry. Xbox needs to get someone who actually knows how to name this shit.
Xbox 360. Ooh, ooh. So we go from a box to a sphere. I like
it. No, it's still a box.
Oh. Then why is it the 360?
Because you can have a group of people.
Oh, I get it. The 360 experience. All-encompassing. Okay, yeah. Now that you've explained it, it makes a lot of sense. You know what? That naming is about as smart as Nintendo and the Wii U. If you have to explain it, it's a bad name.
Yeah, it really is.
So, with Wii, we want everybody to play. With
no,
Wii U...
we would like to play.
So, but with Wii U, you can play by yourself as well.
What?
I couldn't do that before on the Wii. Japan, stop being quirky. We love you for being quirky, but don't be quirky with your names.
Well, you know what? And God rest him. Who was the president
Satoru
at
Iwata.
The time? Yes, Satoru Iwata. You know, like, may he rest in peace and all that. He definitely took the blame of that, and he shouldered that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
no.
You know.
Like, he is a model for all CEOs to follow, in my opinion. But,
oh, yeah. If something goes wrong, you take responsibility and you move on.
So what we've heard from estimates is that the PlayStation 5, the cost of parts alone for the system, are going to be $450.
Okay. So throwing this out there, we know that... so one of the major things, again, have to come from the retail angle on this, that came out of the previous console wars between the 4 and the 1 was price. The 1 was slated at $500.
Yep.
And I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I saw more returns of the 1 and switches over to the 4 within the first few months of the release because the 1 was not doing well. It was glitching. It was bricking. It was just not doing well.
And this was kind of a repeat, but the opposite way around from the previous generation with the 360 and the 3, where the 3, which launched a year later than the 360, also launched at like $100 more. And did horribly as a result.
Yeah.
So price is a big factor with these systems.
The other thing, though, that you have to look at here, and I'm going to play devil's advocate. We have Sony pulling out of all these events. All right.
Yep.
Let's take away the crossplay. Let's take away everything for the moment and just look at the 5 itself. All right.
Yep.
They are not bringing this to a con. They are not advertising this. What that says to me is that they know the 5 is not ready. The planning is done, but the 5 is not yet ready. I'm going to, because as why is his name escaping me, right? Shigeru Miyamoto says,
yep,
a delayed game means that the game will be good because they have longer to work on it. But a bad game is bad forever.
Yeah. And that is true. I mean, Last of Us 2 is getting delayed. We still haven't gotten anything out of that, and people are getting anxious about it. They were hoping that PAX East was going to be a big reveal. It sounds to a lot of people, what it sounds like now is that they're using CV as an excuse to kind of no-show it, because the idea was that apparently they're going to do their own events, which sounds like they're going to try to take the system on tour, kind of like what Nintendo does when they do these, like, you know, Best Buy events and stuff like that with their systems and their games. It sounds like Sony's trying to do something similar, but it also, like, seems like you said they aren't ready with it, so they're delaying it, but they're using a convenient excuse for the time in order to do that.
Right. They're not. And it, again, this is all speculation, but I would rather, and like, but we still know nothing about this system.
Yeah.
Except for what the grouping of the parts might be. Yeah. Like $450. That's still a rumor. That is not confirmed hard facts.
It's fairly, I want to say, like, the accuracy has been up there around, like, 90% from what people have reported to that cost. That has been the big issue with why they have yet to announce a price point or even show off the system, I guess, is just due to manufacturing. So they have yet to actually have it finalized to try to get it to... I think they're trying to get the price point sub $400. So they're trying to get it to 400, and maybe if they can push it, maybe 375, which is an odd number, but from my limited knowledge of gaming retail, I only know from what I know when my mother used to work for Toys R Us, but game consoles are sold at a loss traditionally for these companies. They make their money back on game sales traditionally. Mm-hmm. So the cost of manufacturing is always going to be more than what they sell it for. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we also have to look at, within the past few generations, just looking, say, from PlayStation 2 to 3 to 4, the size of these libraries. PlayStation 2 had the largest library of any video game system ever. Mm-hmm. You know, and, I mean, like, and granted, that's an outlier, but you look at the other systems of those generations, too. I mean, well... Actually, the next generation, then the Wii had the largest one, but that's mostly because it was shovelware. But that's aside from the point. So you look at the library sizes, and the library sizes have shrunk because the developers, we don't really have any B-tier developers anymore, publishers. We don't really have C-tier. Those people have shifted more to digital, and the AAA developers, you know, your EAs
don't have competition.
And Activisions, It's not even that they don't have a competition. They've moved to this online always, this live service thing that, Jim Sterling, live services. So, like, it really does drag down the number of games that are out because people want if you have a big library of games, you go out, you're constantly buying and trading and all that stuff. But if you're only putting out one game and expecting people to dump hundreds of hours into that one game because of the online content, and then maybe you put a new version out the next year, maybe you don't put out a new one for 2 years. I mean, are people going to go out and keep buying games? What's the size of that system's library going to look like? PlayStation 4 started with mostly ports of PlayStation 3 titles.
Which is
I don't think the PlayStation 5 has much in the tank yet. I don't think it's ready at all.
I've been talking a lot. Deej, what's your view on this?
I'm thinking a lot about this. I know that they're going to try and want to keep the prices down. Like, this is not the first time Sony tried to come out with a system that was stupidly expensive. Remember when the PS3 was for $600?
Yep.
This is what I imagine is going to happen. What they're going for, and if the specs are, again, these are if the rumors are true. We're going by these rumors. If we're going by the specs and what they're trying to do, I imagine it won't be far off from being like $400, $450. It'll be out there. I'm sure it's going to sell, but then because of its high price, it'll drop it to like, let's say, $300, $350, or maybe. Because usually what happens is, this is why I try to hold myself off from buying the first generation console, because they always come out with like a second newer model. It's like, they always make a revised version of it. I learned that with the PS2. I learned that with the PS3, especially when it went from a big bulky bastard to this tiny little thing that had more.
You had the Foreman grill, and then you had the Slim, and then you have the what I call the Super Slim model of it.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's why I try to like hold off from buying stuff, like certain stuff, especially fighting games, day one. I've learned that the hard way as a gamer. Oh, yeah.
I generally hold off for Game of the Year editions most of the time.
Yeah, but never do that with a Capcom fighting game. Never do that with a Capcom fighting game. Let's be fair.
Waiting?
No. Waiting for the Game of the Year edition, because the following year, they're not going to make another one. They're just going to update that Game of the Year edition at least 3 times.
I mean, it could be what Koei Tecmo does with Dead or Alive. You know, $500 worth of DLC. And no Game of the Year edition on top of it all.
Well, yeah, because who wants to shell out at least $600 for a Game of the Year edition with $500 worth of content?
Yeah, which are all costumes.
I'm personally going to wait to buy the PS5. PS5 could be coming out next week. I wouldn't buy it now just because I'm going to want to wait. I'm going to wait for any revisions. I'm going to wait to see if there's any bugs. Like, I've been pretty lucky with day one consoles, because I remember when the Wii came out, there were reported bugs. When the Switch came out, I was lucky because apparently there were multiple like reports of the Switch breaking, the Joy-Cons. Well, my Joy-Cons did end up breaking. I had to get new ones. I'm still dreading Joy-Con drift, but that's why we're unfortunately at the point now. It's like, I don't want to buy something day one, because now I'm so used to like, oh, this thing's breaking. That's why I'm going to wait for them to, or even if the PS5 doesn't break, they're going to make a revised version. That's why I'm waiting.
The problem with that revised version is that that is not going to be the next version of that console. And this is another thing that I've learned. So the PlayStation 4 actually went through about maybe – no, I can say this a little bit more certainly. At least with the Xbox One, went through 3 versions. So there was the Xbox One, the Day One Edition, I'm going to label it, because there was that Day One Edition themed one and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that batch, along with all those consoles, kept breaking.
Damn.
Then, a few weeks later, or at least a month or so later, came the second iteration of the Xbox One. That one had the better fan in the cooling system. That one didn't break. If it did, it was rare, but that was the better Xbox One. And that's the one that kind of carried the rest through until the Xbox S. You know, they made minor tweaks here and there to it, but it wasn't anything that you would notice big time. between that one and the day one edition, yes, there was some, it was amazing how much better it was. And then, you know, just at the more that they released, they tweaked it slightly, slightly, slightly. Then the Xbox One S came out. And then, so with PlayStation, they did minor tweaks to the PlayStation 4, but it was mainly the Pro that was the first time you actually knew more about the updates to the PlayStation console.
It's interesting, too, because it depends on the manufacturer to how much they make those tweaks obvious. Because, like, I think if you look back on it, the PlayStation 3, the Foreman Grill Edition, or Spider-Man Edition, if you will, because the font they used, that PlayStation 3 was backwards compatible, and they still used that same PlayStation 3, but maybe about two versions into it after that, they were no longer backwards compatible to the 2 because they didn't want to put that extra chip in there anymore. Mm-hmm. And so there are a number of first-generation PlayStation 3s that are not backwards compatible. And then it goes through the revision to the Slim and then the Super Slim. Nintendo has a long history of revisions, mostly with their handhelds.
Game Boy Color, Game Boy Color Advance.
Well, because Game Boy Pocket and Color was really just a revision system. Advance was the first full-on upgrade. But if you really want to look at it... Yeah,
the
like you had
SP,
Advance,
I think be the
Advance
one.
SP, and then finally the Micro, you know, which
to the Advance SP's credit, they made it more portable and they involved a backlight.
I didn't like the profile because my big thumbs kind of could not handle the square little thing.
He's giving it a thumbs down, just so you all know.
Going like, and then of course we have the DS. DS Lite, DSi, we have the 3DS, 3DS XL, 2DS, new 3DS, and new 3DS XL, and then 2DS XL. So, I mean, we have a very clear progression, but we even saw redesigns as far back as the NES with, you had the original model, then the model that had AV inputs in the side, and then the third and final revision back
the
around...
The SNES.
No, actually, while the SNES was out, there was a final revision, and that was the top loader, NES.
Right.
So, right. I mean, revisions are no new thing to systems, but the only thing that will get me to go out day one and get a PS5 is if they say that bitch is backwards compatible all the way down to the one.
Now, let's hit that rumor.
Yeah,
moment,
I
that
agree.
Is one of the bigger rumors that we have heard.
Yeah.
It's backwards to like PS4?
No, not just PS4.
No,
PS1,
all the way down
2,
to the
3,
one.
3, 4.
Oh, damn.
If the rumors so, to be believed,
one,
this will
two,
be Sony's
three, four, five.
Last console permanently, because they are going to make sure that you can play anything that they've made on it.
Yep, which of course then makes that idea that the push will continue to move towards digital streaming, and that's it. And, I mean, you can make larger formats. I mean, they do have 4K Blu-rays. They can make larger optical discs.
Okay, let's get the discs out of the way. The Switch proved that cartridges can come back.
I mean, yeah. The problem that we're having with the Switch is the so-called Switch tax. The fact that these cartridges do cost more than a disc to make, and there is a cost to them. The largest size they go up to currently is 32 gigabytes, which means extra development time being put into file optimization, as well as, of course, taking into effect that Switch is not as powerful as a PlayStation 4 or Xbox One, obviously.
Right.
But then you have the
studios... the Witcher game on those things.
You have The Witcher, and you have The Outer Worlds, two huge, very graphically intense games... So graphically intense, I can't say graphically correctly. graphically. Intense games.
No,
they crammed them.
It created a new word. It's called glaphic, people.
Glaphic.
We call it glaphic.
Glaphics. So I watch graphically intensive games while wearing glaphes.
You need these glaphes to enjoy every pixel that the glaphics have.
But, yeah, basically... These cartridges go up to 32 gigs right now, and a good studio can use that size appropriately, and they know they're going to make the sales to compensate for that cartridge. Meanwhile, you have other studios like Capcom who are just lazy, buy a cheaper, smaller cartridge, and then force you to download the other half of the game. Or, and here's the good part, we're trying to be so eco-friendly nowadays, we skimp on product packaging all the time. We use nothing but the thinnest, least amount of plastic to make our game packages nowadays. Yet, despite being so eco-friendly, we have publishers such as Bethesda and Blizzard who will put out a game in an empty box with a piece of paper inside it.
Okay, to make a point here, though, I'm just going to push this point. Let's not talk about Blizzard. Let us not go down the road with Blizzard.
Well, I mean,
can we all agree?
Overwatch is digital only on the Switch. You go out, you buy it, you get a box with a piece of paper in it.
No, I completely get it.
Wolfenstein Youngblood, which of course is Bethesda, you know, I mean, same deal. Company that was high up on a pedestal, fallen far from grace, you know.
Yeah, but that started back with Fallout 76, so that's why I'm saying let's not, you know, Bethesda we can take potshots at, but let's not even bring Blizzard to the table, because by comparison, Bethesda may have screwed so many people over, but they at least did it to our faces.
Yeah, that's true too. That's true.
They at
too.
Least had the gonads to do it to our screw us over in front of us.
So I mean the big thing that scares me, of course, is price point, because retail is such a fragile thing nowadays with this economy. Like, to sound scary and adult right now, like, people don't go out and spend. I'm a freaking streamer, for crying out loud, and I hardly go out and spend money on games, and I'm, like, behind by, like, 7 games in my Nintendo catalog. That is a hell of a freaking money sink right there.
As a retail worker, I can vouch, people don't want to go out and buy anything.
Yeah.
And when they do, you know, they normally think, and sidebar, may I please rant just 1 second about this? They will have gone to, like, say, a Gucci store, pay $700 for an item, then come into my store and complain about a $60 price point.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's not everybody. Just wanted to get that out there. So just to point out the fact is, like, people will buy stuff. They'll just buy stuff that is not necessary, and when it's something that's necessary, they will complain about its price.
Yeah.
But then again, that's human nature. We drop money on a dime for things that we like.
That is true, too. I am poor because of many impulse buys, but that's aside from the point. Speaking of poor and needing to pay the bills. Speaking of poor and needing to pay the bills, Super Fancom needs to pay the bills, too. We're going to take a brief break right here for sponsors, and when we get back, we are going to come to the meat and potatoes of the conversation, the reason we are here today, our after-school special on pay-to-win patents. Oh boy, this is gonna be a hell of a ride. Stay tuned.
Hey everyone, it's Retro Rick here, for the ad break. I hope everyone's enjoying the show. Thank you for listening to Jay, Sam, and Deej talk about Sony and video games. And if you'd like to help our show look and sound better, try any of our links, like jlist.com. We're using our code to get you 5% off your order from stuff in Japan. Humble Bundle, where you can get tons of great video games sent to you. The Green Tea House, home of all natural, herbal, and exotic teas. Buy Things from Another World, home of DC, Marvel, and Image Comics, pop figures, and action figures. And by the Kawaii Box, where you can get a box sent to your house each month from Japan filled with cool stuff like plushies, keychains, phone charms, and more. Or if you just want to help our show, go to our Patreon at patreon.com/superfancomshow. All for donating $1, you get full uncut episodes. Also, we have a coffee page and PayPal if you just want to donate to help us get better. And now I unpause you from a pause break on press pause and return you to the show. Thank you. Good night.
All right, and we have unpaused from our commercial break. Thank you very much for checking out those awesome people who helped us out. And now we're going to help you out by ranting about this big hot button topic right now. The stupidest thing to come along since Nintendo asking if you want a hand after you died 5 times on that level. Even though you knew you could do it, you were just really fucking tired at the time. So, I'm just talking from personal experience. But Sony put out a patent where you could pay to have the game play itself for you, I believe. Is that how the patent went?
No, the patent, how it works is you get stuck. If you're stuck, if you can't beat a boss, I guess it's with voice activation, you go like, Sony, how do I beat this boss? And then the computer is going to give you a whole list of, oh, this is how players beat him. Or you need to go get this item to beat the boss. And basically, it's trying to give you a helping hand to try and beat this game, which I wouldn't care so much about. But the main reason it, like, you know, just kind of hit me the wrong way is because you have to pay for this. You have to pay to get these tips. And in my mind, I'm thinking, like, what happened to using YouTube if you're stuck somewhere?
Not advertiser friendly.
Somebody fell into a time warp and suddenly thought it would be a good idea to computerize a 1-900 number.
Doc Brown didn't get the DeLorean up to 88 miles per hour.
Because, like, and second of all, and the other thing is, my favorite is because supposedly one article had said to me had said, like, it's gonna help beat the game for you. If you need something to beat a game for you, A, why are you playing the game in the first place? B, hand in your gamer card right now.
Okay, so I have to play devil's advocate again. And this is something that the concept of this is something that I can't. So the concept, the key concept of this, I would like to first point out, we've been doing this for a long time. Deej, Jace, we both know this. Do you remember what they were called?
Let's see. There have been, there were strategy guides. There were websites like GameFAQs that eventually made strategy guides obsolete. But like I was saying years before, you had, 1-800 or 1-900 numbers, like the Nintendo Power Line that you would call that would tell you how to get through stuff. You would call game counselors who would tell you how to beat a level or where to find that secret.
Right. So in that regard, we've seen this before and money was spent before.
Yeah.
So in this aspect, okay, I get that. If the game were to be able to play itself, there's only one reason why I'm approving of that. And this is, it's a difficult topic.
This I want to hear.
Okay. Disabilities, physical limitations and disabilities. The key thing here is that there were a lot of good people when I worked at GameStop who had disabilities and they wanted to come in and play a video game. And you know what? That's great. I don't care. Gaming is for everybody. And I never judge. You never have a concern. And there are some people who, because of their disabilities, cannot, their motor function will not work properly or just something, and they will have trouble with that game and they just will not be able to beat it. They come in, they trade it in for a measly amount because they weren't able to enjoy it because just of these limitations that they have no control over, they cannot beat the game. If that function were to help people in that situation, that's the only way I would approve of that.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying, but here's my counter argument. If it is something like that, I'm still against the fact that you would have to pay for it, because at that point, it almost seems like Sony in some – I'm sure this is not what they're open to, but it seems like that they're expecting, yeah, the disability can't play, so we're going to take as much money as we can from them so then they can supposedly play the game even though they're not playing the game. Because like with games like Nintendo and one of the Super Mario games, if you die a lot, Nintendo gives you for free like this white Takunish – why can't I say the name?
Tanuki.
Thank you. It's a Tanuki suit, like a white one, invincible, so you can fly, you can beat the stage. It's like, you know, it's if you died a certain amount of times, but it gives you the option. And so that I can understand. I know people like Mike Matei have argued again. I thought he was crazy.
I've argued against it. I mean, because it annoys the hell out of me. Because, I mean, I could just be being in a rush and being sloppy. I mean, I'm an old school gamer. I've been playing this shit for my entire life. You know, I've been doing this for 30 years, you know, with a controller in my hand since a ColecoVision. And it's like, well, I know what I'm doing.
Okay, boomer.
So Mario jumped on the pins, you know, and so getting Tanuki suit. And... oh, you said boomer, not Boomhauer.
No, I can't get Boomhauer. What's good with that?
But I
Wait,
mean,
are
like
you secretly a ranger.
but basically, you know, they took it a step further actually in Donkey Kong Country Returns, where you could actually watch the game auto-complete the level for you just to go to the next level.
That was programmed into the game, so that's not something that I will show anger towards.
You know, I mean, it was programmed into the game. It's frustrating because there's a part of you where, lately in my spare time, I've played a lot of Shovel Knight. And I got back... Game's so nice, I bought it thrice. I backed it on Kickstarter and then cut it two other times, mostly because I had the damn amiibo and I wanted it on my Switch. But
I demand for Spectre Knight.
No, I had that shit on pre-order for like 4 years. I'm glad I finally have it. So, you see this? You want it? You want it? You can't have it! But, you know, like... stuff that's built around these old school concepts, you know, they've got that old school level of difficulty to a degree because they're not new ideas in gaming. Everybody knows about run, jump, you know, jump over the pit, hit the enemy. They're not new concepts. Now, boss fights, on the other hand, at least in an adventure game, like I was playing Jet Force Gemini the other night, and it was this one boss. And unlike playing through a level where, say, you have your first life and then what it said was two continues, so you had three lives to get through the level. But once you got to the boss, there were no more continues. You could die and repeat as many times as you wanted until you beat the boss, which was a great little bit thrown in there into the difficulty curve. Now, boss had a tell, so I'm shooting blindly at this thing, you know, and then what I realized was eventually... what it was attacking with would flash. And at that moment, that flash from what it was attacking with, you were supposed to attack what it was attacking with. And so it was one of those things where I died like at least 10 times before I caught on to that. I saw the blinking points on it, but I wasn't doing any kind of damage to it. And it took me a while, but eventually I got it. Now I feel like with a difficulty curve for a game... you know, it's hard to create that perfect curve. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got their own learning curve to it. You know, and we're talking about a game that came out, I want to say, like, circa 99, 98, I think. But the fact that it didn't limit you to the number of lives you had while you were fighting it, so you didn't get a game over screen. And the tells were something that you could catch on to after a while. Like, when I pulled out the weapon would identify... when I was aiming at something that was actually targetable, and it would the reticle would turn red, showing me, oh, shoot here. So, okay, I'm shooting at what I think is the weak spot, but it's not turning red, despite me shooting the weak spot. Oh, but the part of it that just fired that's a weak spot turned red when I was over that. Oh, so I shoot at what it's firing with. Okay, so...
right.
It's kind of it's got that feedback loop, and you feel accomplished once you've done it. And so, I feel like games can't be too quick to jump on you with a tutorial, in my opinion. They can't be too quick to grab you by the hand and lead you. It needs to be something optional that's not in your face about it, you know, and also not put it at a point where it's so, like, where they're... I mean, they want to charge extra for this. Like, you know,
right,
I get
right.
You can do that back in the day, But you could also just go on YouTube and do the same thing. I mean, if they want to make it voice-controlled in the game, who's to stop somebody from picking up their phone, shouting, you know, hey, rural, you know, because I don't want to turn on my phone right now.
Or anyone else's.
And, you know, I'm not an asshole like that episode of South Park. But I, you know, I could just shout at my phone to look up that on YouTube and pull up a clip on YouTube on my phone without having to shout at my system and pay money to do it. So I also feel
like I mean, everyone loves the fact that you can yell. Yeah, but let's go with a fun factor here for a second. Just a little bit. Who doesn't want to just yell at their TV and tell the boss to die and then just see the game kill the boss for you?
Until you see the credit card bill because it accidentally charged you for it.
Exactly. But either way, you know, let's go with that joke for a minute. I think that would be hilarious if it happened just once.
My girlfriend comes in and is like, DJ, did you spend this much on a fucking video game? You don't understand, hon. The Bloodborne boss was a son of a bitch.
You were supposed to be spending the day with our girl. I was. She yelled at him, too.
My girlfriend just goes, you fucking knew. Why didn't you use the ice blade? Oh, that was it.
So let's get this out of the way, though. I'm not, you know, we're not against a game helping somebody. Games have been doing that since the very beginning. They've been helping you try and learn.
It's the exploiting and paying part that that just kind of runs me the wrong way.
I mean, something like, you know, like I said, people with disabilities, if it helps make things easier for them, I'm perfectly fine with that. I don't want them paying for it.
Shout outs to Microsoft. Have you guys seen their adaptability controllers?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God. Look it up. It is so cool. They make this wide range of inputs. All sorts of crazy different little tactile things, one of which even just looks straight up like a Wii nunchuck. And the thing is like, some of them are as simple as like a freaking, looks like a Staples Easy button, you know, but if it's somebody who does not have a full range of motion with their hands to hit buttons, but they're able to, say, tap a button, you know, with a part of their body in order to do that same thing, Microsoft's adaptability controllers that are programmable for different things are absolutely mind-blowing. Props to Microsoft for truly designing a control system of gaming for people who can't use a controller. Like, that right there is amazing.
Okay. Sony is more, I think, adaptable in the fact of how you map out their controller. You know, just the controller, like mapping out, like, what button do you want to do this, you know, so it's like, so you can just figure out which ones do that. Whereas Microsoft has made it easier to actually use the controller.
Let's face it, they made that first Xbox controller and it was a freaking hand sore.
Oh, yeah.
The Duke. So they know something about having to make a better controller.
The thing that was only made for, like, basketball players, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I still have mine, and it still smells like it was fresh out of the box.
Wow. I don't know what to think about that, whether it means you didn't use the controller, or if that controller is just loaded with that many plastic chemicals.
Can we just say that that's the smell of nostalgia and move on?
Yeah.
I think it's the smell of something.
Smell of something.
Watching you. the fact that, and tale as old as time, gamers trying to find a way to beat a level that is impossible, that is always going to happen. But to take advantage of that and charge them for this, that's downright absurd.
Yeah. No, I mean, just because I died 20 times on a boss because I couldn't get the rhythm down right, or I wasn't using the right item, doesn't mean that I want to spend money on that. And even then, like, I'm not a big fan of Souls games, which is why I don't play them. But even then, if I were to play the game and get frustrated, I mean, I'd be the kind of person that, like, that would be a rental for me back in the day. You know, because that just doesn't, you know, work out for me. It's not that kind of thing. Others just, you know, like, other people love it. And I think it also comes down to not every game is for every person. You can't make every game accessible. And I mean, now Nintendo, I see them try doing that with their little help systems in like Mario and Donkey Kong. But I also can understand that because their games are built almost less around the game to a degree nowadays, as much as they're about the experience in the characters, the legacy. It's like watching a cartoon at this point because you recognize the character so well. So I also feel that this whole playing it through for you works better in some instances than others. I mean, you have to know what you're getting yourself into, basically, when it comes to the game. If you know you're not going to enjoy it, you know that it's not your cup of tea, I mean,
then
there
just
are plenty
don't
of,
buy it.
There are plenty of other ways to experience it. I am not against watching Let's Plays on YouTube, or even just looking up the cutscenes, you know, when it comes to a game. If you don't have the time to play a game, but you want to play it and you want to know the story, but you don't have that time to plop down 50 hours on an RPG, you know, or the game's not your cup of tea, like me in the Souls series. Like, I will watch plenty of videos about it, you know, and the mythology and all that stuff, because it's cool, I won't play it.
And for those people who are listening and are going to put in get good, yeah, no, completely understand that. It's just, you can either get good or you can't. Unfortunately, at that point, it's like, do you really want to put yourself through the stress and aggravation? Yes, it's rewarding at the end, but to do it again and again, you know, it's just, it doesn't turn into something, you know, it's not therapeutic.
So,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, so ultimately, is the idea a good or bad idea? It's a gray area. That's where I stand on it. I feel like it's got to be implemented the right way. It shouldn't be built into the hardware for the game to have to be able to do it. If Sony wants to do it with their first-party games, they got to do it in just the right way, and I don't think they should charge for it.
Agreed.
You know, I think we're beyond that whole charge point.
That's my only problem with it.
Yeah.
We're going back on, you know, and let's be fair here. Let's call this what it is. Finding out, you know, getting help on a video game. Let's call it what it is. It's gaming tradition.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this goes all the way back to schoolyards, you know, going, oh, did you know you could do this while playing a game? You know, except back in the day you had all those crazy rumors like, you know, oh, well, my dad's brother's best friend works at Nintendo and said that you could unlock blood in Mortal Kombat. You know, like, the internet is this rich legacy of what started
trolling.
Out on beyond trolling. It's this, at least gaming with the internet when it comes to tips and tricks and all that stuff. It's got this rich legacy going back to the days of the schoolyard, you know, passing tips on with your friends. And magazines, and to a lesser extent, phone lines, because everybody had a phone. Let's face it, we mentioned this when we were doing the commercial reviews with Super Famicom. Mm-hmm. Boglins had a freaking phone line. So, I mean, everything had a phone line in the late 80s, early 90s. But people always had a way of getting their tips and their hints. People always had a way. I mean, if you had a family, like if you had siblings, you know, and you played games with it, you know, you had that older sibling who was better than you, you know, that was your person, that was your YouTube video, you know, of how to beat something, was you had an older sibling or an older friend who could do that. So
actually, you know what? I just saw the best example of that. The video game episode or like minisode in Futurama. Oh, he's down to the last ship. It's going really fast. How do you beat it? I don't know. My brother always did it for me.
I am Lur from the planet Nintendo 64.
I remember the old days when I would be on the school bus and me and my friends, we would get together. We would try to, you know, exchange gaming secrets. And then this one kid, he was in the fifth grade, comes up to us. He goes, "Have you guys heard about Missing No?"
Oh my god.
That was how I first discovered missing number was.
And that's how you first discovered how to destroy your entire game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I glitched it beyond belief where I got infinite rare candies.
Yep.
But back on topic, sorry. but I mean, it's just, it's tradition. You know, yeah. Why are you charging for tradition?
Because if they find a way to squeeze money out of us, they will. That's the sad thing about gaming.
You said it best right there. The gaming industry, like any entertainment industry, basically is kind of predatory to a degree. Like, not to sound like a total downer, but Hollywood is a predator on our nostalgia. Gaming also is, but when it comes down to it, with the microtransactions, loot boxes, DLCs, patches, all this other stuff, right down to the fact that, like, the past few Final Fantasies haven't done as well as, say, the nostalgia for 7, which is why it took them like 10 years to make Final Fantasy 7 Remake.
And it's actually only the there's first a few part other of it. Reasons for that one. It's because Nomura is a crazy person.
Well, yeah, because Nomura works on like 5 projects at once, and
the guy is a perfectionist, and it shows in his work.
Mm. He pees in bags. Of course, he's crazy.
I don't.
Yes, because his perfectionism refuses to let him leave the office,
and so, I admire that. I honestly do.
Give us a shout out and a comment in wherever you're watching this, whether it's social media, you know, Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube, or wherever you're watching or listening to this. On should we do a ranking episode of from sane to batshit crazy game developers? You know, should also, we do a tier list of that?
Also,
Nomura, Nomura and Shigeru Miyamoto and Sakurai and the rest
Sakurai.
Of them.
Takeshi, beat Takeshi.
Oh god,
Takeshi challenge. also,
that's troll tier.
And also put in the comments down below, what is the fun random theory do you think about Nomura? Do you think about Nomura? Just because, like, what other crazy things do you think he does because he's a perfectionist?
All right, so we're going to wrap up.
In the mirror every day going, you are a failure. You have to do better.
My personal theory is that when he looks at artwork, especially something, even if it's something he drew, he will always disapprove and say that needs more belts and more zippers. More belts. More zipper. More belt.
I thought we were talking about Rob Liefeld for a second.
No, it's kind of like that Courage the Cowardly Dog moment with when Muriel gets turned into a kid with the macaroni and cheese. More cheese! More macaroni! More cheese! More macaroni! Less macaroni! More cheese! So... And then, like,
I hate belts.
I hate macaroni and cheese. Like, that's literally like every Nomura character design. So more belts, more zippers, more belts, more zippers, less belts, more zippers, more belts, less zippers. Like, by the time you get done with it, you look at it and you go, I don't know where the belts and zippers end on this thing. Like, how do you even put this on?
One of my personal fun theories is that he looks at it, so they'll have just finished like a storyboarding idea.
Yep.
He'll go through it, like he'll stand in front of the whiteboard. Everyone else is like, you know, behind him, waiting for his approval. And he's like, okay, this makes sense. I understand it. Write it again! I don't want to understand this. What do you people not get?
I swear that he probably just tells people, take what you wrote and put them on magnets. And I will rearrange it on the refrigerator tomorrow morning.
That's Nomura. If this somehow gets back to you, know that we have nothing but the utmost love and respect. But my God, dude, you take so long with games, and we appreciate it.
Yeah. A true
they
perfectionist.
Had to kick him off of 15, they literally had to kick him off of 15 because they needed Kingdom 3 to be worked on.
Because they needed to do Final Fantasy VII Remake as well, which they also scrapped once in its entirety because the team that was working on it was from outside of Square and was apparently doing a subpar job, unfortunately.
And then they're like, crud, we have to get Nomura back in to do this.
Yeah. That'll be another, leave us a comment if you want a episode on games in development hell, because there aren't enough stories about that as it is, and we like having a good laugh about shit like that. We'll wrap things up with the, blip of the blip of the whenever, bit of gaming news that just kind of went blip out of nowhere into, the, public eye. Borderlands has just announced that they have a director for the Borderlands movie that has been in development hell for the past 5 years. Eli Roth.
I don't know who that is.
I know who that is, but should Borderlands become a movie? I mean, I know we're starting to make... It seems video game movies are already on a rise with Detective Pikachu, and especially with recent Sonic the Hedgehog. Can Borderlands... Should we try and make that into a movie?
Here's the thing, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. We already have. You want to know what it's called? Mad what? Max.
How did I know you were going to say Mad Max? I was honestly about to say Fury Road.
I kind of thought that the same, too. I mean, again, leave it in the comments if you want us to do something about video game movies, but with the success of Detective Pikachu and Sonic and the focus on fans actually getting involved, whether it was Detective Pikachu having one of the artists being a professional fan artist who did renditions of realistic real-life Pokemon get pulled onto the project, or one of the character designers, the character designer that worked on Sonic Mania, working on the redesign of Sonic for the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. I think we definitely are hitting kind of a new synergy between fans and video game movies. That it's not just putting out something Hollywood. It's now about putting out something that people will spend money on, especially because you can patch movies nowadays, as people have been referring to it. So,
actually, may I close this out with some fun gaming news of today in gaming history?
Yeah, sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, exactly 34 years ago today, on February 21st, 1986, Super Mario Brothers was out on the Famicom disc system in Japan. And 27 years ago, Super Nintendo released Star Fox in Japan.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's, I feel old.
Yeah, but, I mean, to make you feel better, 19 years ago in 2001, Clive Barker's Undying came out.
I still feel old.
Fine. More recently, in 2019, Phoenix Wright's Ace Attorney Trilogy came out for the Nintendo Switch in Japan.
That still makes me feel old because I played those on the DS.
What do you want from me?
Stop making
I want
feel
my
old.
Childhood back, damn it!
Oh, but here's one. Azura's Wrath came out 8 years ago.
Okay, I didn't
I
play that
old.
Game.
That was
that
just a decent button-pressing game.
I didn't play that, so that doesn't
this
make
entire
me feel
group.
And I'm going to remind you guys of it one way or the other.
Oh, I already have three people who remind me how old I am, including my own girlfriend.
So there you have it, folks. That is the latest in random gaming news, as well as a little bit of gaming history and a heck of a lot about Sony. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We're going to unpress pause and let you get back to whatever it is you're playing. Let us know in the comments what you're playing right now. Give us suggestions of what we should play. So we're always game because that's what we are. We're gamers here on Press Pause.
Us.
So at the time of recording, this is what was in the past. Yeah, well, you know what? It's still fun history. Somebody might win Jeopardy with that. And if you do win Jeopardy on that, just remember, you learned it here on Press Pause.
Also, DM us for our P.O. box because we would like our winnings that we are due.
Cha-ching!
So, go.
Speaking of money, so before we go, huge shout out to our affiliates. So they mean the world to us because they help us out when you go ahead and check them out. Green Tea House, J-List, and many others. So all the details are in our ads and in our social media. So if you're not following us, give us a follow, SuperFanCom. So you can find us on Twitter and Facebook, along with all the other podcast platforms out there. So thank you for tuning in, and have a great time.